Even as that song echoes Paul's words from our epistle, essentially saying, I'm the worst sinner I know. We know there's one greater than our sin, and that's the one we're going to focus on the very most here today as we move into chapter 18, or the 15th section of our going through the Gospel of Luke. And we're so grateful to get to do that for you. One of the first things I hope that we notice in this is that Jesus is just about in his last week. Next week, and when we get to chapter 19, Jesus will be entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the last week that he walks on this earth before he dies upon the cross. And you can almost sense at each step as he gets closer, this chapter ends in Jericho, which is the next little town before he's going to get to Emmaus and cross over and go down through the valley and then back up into Jerusalem. You sense this focus that Jesus has. This desire to get things across to his disciples then, and I think to all of us now. So it might be worthwhile for us to, as we do this, you know, maybe kind of pick up this one point. To notice that in Luke 18, verse 31, Jesus is going to go on and say, now, as he takes the 12 apostles aside, Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about by the prophets about the Son of Man is about to be fulfilled. He'll be delivered by the Gentiles into their hands, and even as he is, they will mock him and insult him and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. All this Jesus talking about himself. And on the third day, he will rise again. But the disciples did not understand this. Just didn't sink in. I think it was more than just the fact that Jesus was speaking of himself in the third person. I think there's just this sort of focus in on the now. And sometimes you don't hear things. This focus in on circumstances. And we don't always hear or understand what it is that God's getting across to us. Maybe we can ask it this way. Maybe there are times when we don't understand, when we don't get it. Where do we go? What do we do when we have those times of struggle, or we have those times of suffering, or we have those times where it seems that God is silent, and we're just, you know, we're not understanding our circumstances of what we're going through, and maybe we can then relate to those disciples that it just didn't sink in. But Jesus gives us some great answers that I think can help us when we're in one of those seasons of suffering or silence or uncertainty and struggle. He gives us great answer here. And the answer I think we're going to see repeated several times in Luke chapter 18 is don't give up. Don't give up, especially on God, the God who loves us and is going to act on our behalf. Don't give up on God. That's what we act on. That's what we hold on to. And I pray God will make that even clearer for us. So here's how it starts. And go back to that very first verse. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. You ever prayed for something 10 times, 10 days in a row? You ever prayed for something for 10 months? You ever prayed for something for 10 years? And yet here is this story. Don't give up. Keep on praying. It's really a powerful story, this message. He's urging us, though, to not give up, to rely on God, the only one that's truly reliable in this world. And then conversely, I think we see a couple of places here in the chapter where Jesus says, you know, if there is anything you're going to give up, what I hope you'll give up is self-reliance. I hope you will give up on depending on yourself. And I want to explore two of those with you that are in this chapter, along with four other ideas of not giving up on God. So with God's help, that's what we will dig into and explore and get clearer about. First of all, one of the things I hope that will make sense for us is the Apostle Paul saying there, you know, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was a violent man. I know it's outside of Luke, but I think it gives us a lens to look at things. I acted in ignorance and unbelief. When we choose and we give up on God and we rely on ourselves, we're saying, I don't believe anymore. I don't believe he can do the impossible. I don't believe that he's really there. I don't believe he really knows or cares. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying. It is when we act in unbelief, we'll do things that are just against God and against God's work in us and through us. I acted in that, but the grace was poured out on me. It was poured out along with the love that he wants us to have. And that grace has been poured out on us. It's been poured out on us. And today, as we maybe we're in one of those days of struggle or of suffering or silence, today let's remember not to give in to that unbelief. But with God's help, we're going to hold on and not give up. So you have Jesus saying that. And we look here now at this next one. Here, if we're going to give up anything, we're going to give up our own reliance on ourselves. You have Jesus in this next story in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, saying to those who were, what, you see it on there? Who were confident of their own righteousness. Let me try to take that out of the Bible-y speak for just a minute and make it sort of plain. That means I don't really need God. I'm doing just fine by myself. That is a really dangerous statement to make. Anybody ever had one of those seasons where, you know what? I'm just doing fine. I don't need God right now. And if you ever face-planted ever about a very short period of time after making one of those statements, after setting out on one of those adventures, haven't we gotten reminded again and again how much we do need him? But to those who were confident of their own righteousness, Jesus tells this story. To those who figure, well, I don't really need him that much, or at the very least, I know I'm better than that guy. I know, you know, if God's going to grade on a curve, I'm way better than Hitler, I'm way better, or the Pharisee that's there, I'm way better than this sinful tax collector that's there. You know, surely God's going to see I'm better, and I'll be fine. I'm confident in that. I'm good enough. And I know it's tempting for us who are in church week in and week out all of our lives. It's tempting for us to say, I'm good enough. But oh, that the face plant we risk when we are not considering the need, what Jesus talks about, the humble will be exalted, and the exalted ones, the ones who exalt themselves, will be humbled. Jesus puts it this way, that the one who did humble himself, the one who wouldn't even look up into heaven, that's the one who went home justified. That's the one who went home with God's grace. Not the one who was confident in and of himself. Because the truth is, God's not going to grade on a curve. He's graded on a cross. He has seen the sin and the shortcoming of you and of me and said that only by the paying of my son's life is that debt going to get canceled out. So there's no way any of us can ever say we've been a Christian long enough, centuries long enough, you know, a charter member of this or that or whatever it is that we've done, served in every committee, that we could ever say, I'm righteous enough. All of us, if we'll humble ourselves, are aware that we sin. And all of us can get the grace he promises if we will take up that humble attitude. And really what he's inviting us to do then is to give up self-reliance and instead trust in the one that longs to show us mercy, that died to show us mercy. That's what he's inviting us to. There's also this idea to give up self-reliance, but never give up relying on God. The God who says, and we see it there in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, with man it's impossible. How all these kind of things work out, whether the rich get in or the poor get in, or you know, a sinner who had been a bad sinner like Paul, who had even been guilty of the murder of Christians, how they get in, that's impossible with mankind. But nothing's impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with him. So we never give up hope. We never give up hope in the God who can do the impossible and has done the impossible, even raising Jesus from the dead and all of us who trust in him from the dead, that we will live in that everlasting peace. So let's not give up seeking forgiveness for this week's sins or this morning's sins or this hour's sins or those that have been tucked away in our memory and in our guilt bank for some time. Don't give up seeking that forgiveness so you can feel the freedom and the strength and the confidence, the love that God wants to share. Those two men came up to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector, and the Pharisee makes that statement, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like other people. I'm so glad Jesus isn't like other people too, because I know I am the worst sinner I know. I know my sins, and I hope and pray that you're aware enough and honest enough about your own that you would never pray like that Pharisee, but instead, like the other man, the tax collector, say, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst one I know. I need more of your grace than anything. Well, let's move quickly to a couple of the other things that Jesus tells us not to give up on. And one of them is not to give up on seeking a blessing for our children or our grandchildren. We may say, oh, they're old, too old, you know, they're not going to change. Oh, you know, they're old enough, they got to reap what they sow, they got to, you know, figure life out on their own or whatever it is. I can't teach them anything. And it's probably true that you and I can't teach them anything, but it doesn't mean we can't seek that God would teach them something. It doesn't mean we can't seek that God would bless them. When those people were bringing little babies to Jesus to have him bless them, they were so eager. They knew, my child, my daughter, my son needs this blessing from Jesus. They're going to need that to get through life. And we can have this attitude of, oh, they'll figure it out. You know, I trained them enough when they were young. It's all on them. But I pray we don't give up. Even when the disciples rebuked them, can you imagine? You know, Peter, James, John, all the other disciples going, hey, Jesus is too busy for this baby blessing stuff. He doesn't have time for that. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was to bless and to heal and direct and to help show nothing's impossible. So bring your children before him. Bring your grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Let's not give up on any of them. Let's always pray that they will be blessed by the Lord. That's what's going on. The people were bringing them. The disciples said no. But as we read in Luke 18, verse 16, Jesus goes on to say, no, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Let them come. What a great prayer. Lord, let my child's heart come to you. Let my grandchild's heart be open to you. Lord, let my grandchild, my great-grandchild, find the blessing that only you can give. Let's not give up. I'm praying that for our kids. How about a last one? Let's not give up on crying out for mercy, even when others try to stop us. I was in a church service once, and this guy that was kind of known to everybody would come up for altar calls. You know, he did this on a regular basis. He'd come up all the time, and as you know, the pastor was saying, you know, if anyone needs God's mercy and blessing, let him come forward now. And he stood up and he was crying, said, I do, and let's pray over him. He said to the church, and one lady said, don't do it. He leaks, right? The mercy leaks out of him every week. Why does he need more and more all the time? Do you know anybody that doesn't need mercy? I know I do. Shannon and I were having a discussion just this morning, right? And I'm saying, Shannon, you're getting older. I'm getting older. But do we really have to get old, or can we stay young at heart? And he said, that ship sailed. You're already there, Pastor. I need mercy after that. That was a hard truth. That was a hard truth. It was a funny truth, actually. But I need mercy, so I'm calling out for mercy. I want to have a young heart. I want to be young at heart and still believe that nothing's impossible with God. So imagine this guy that's there, this beggar who is blind, and when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, he knows. He knows this guy's healed all kinds of people, given sight to the blind, healed lepers, and even raised the dead and driven out demons. So when he hears that, he calls out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And imagine the crowd. I don't know if they were just sort of the disciples were in a rebuking mood. You know, they rebuked the parents. Now they're rebuking this poor blind guy. They're right. Just shh, be quiet. You know, the teacher can't be bothered with somebody like you. He's too busy. Well, don't let anybody tell you that God's too busy for you. Don't let anybody tell you that you're too far from God or whatever it is. Don't give up on crying out for his mercy, no matter what anybody else says. I need it, Lord. I need it to be strong. I need it to get through in my loneliness. I need your mercy to help me in everything I face. And this man did not give up, and I love it. Jesus stopped. You know, whatever the caravan is, whatever the major thing, well, you know, today our dignitaries and leaders go around in limousines with police guards and everything else. You can just sort of imagine Jesus saying, hey, stop the whole thing. I care enough about the one. I care enough about the one who doesn't give up crying out for mercy. And I want to give him what he's asking for. God cares enough about you. I want to give her what she's asking for. I want to give him the mercy that they need to keep going. What do you want me to do for you? The Lord will ask you that. What do you want me to do? Don't give up asking for whatever expression of mercy or love or grace that you need. Don't give up asking whatever amount of strength you need. Don't give up asking for mercy for our kids or whatever it is. Don't give up on the God who will never give up on you. May he help us know that, and may he get all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue our worship then as we speak together.